Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper, wear it like no one else.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually. Oh, yeah.
And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. So you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams, available at retailers nationwide and online.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey, Ben Higgins.
Hello, Ashley Iaconetti. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay. I didn't sleep good last night. I'm making it. Honestly, the recovery is easier than I expected, but at the same time, I'm more uncomfortable because 6 weeks of crutching around, just a little tough, but it's not the biggest issue in the world. But yeah, I'm not sleeping great, so I'm just a little worn out all the time.
That sucks. Mm. What kind of a sleeper are you normally? A stomach sleeper, a back sleeper, a side sleeper?
I've always, since I was a little kid, had a body pillow. And so...
Really?
Oh, yeah. So I have a body
pillow. You had the pregnancy pillow?
Oh, I always have. I put my right leg on that. I wrap my right arm around that, and then my left arm hangs straight to my side. And then I kind of put my pillow up so my neck isn't that crunched. I kind of put it up on my shoulder. So I like, it's a weird position. And I've also gotten really into these like bamboo, like pillows, like the, like years ago, like they're like Tempur-Pedic. So they're a little skinnier. What about you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just curious. Do you stay in that same very specific position all night long?
No, I don't think so. I wake up.
Okay. That's your falling asleep position.
Yeah. And then I usually wake up on my back. I had this fear as a kid that if I didn't sleep on my back, it was like bad for me. And so I've always taught myself to somehow make it to my back. Like,
well, that's amazing. That's been like a goal in my life for the past couple of years, ever since I started seeing sleep wrinkles, which is so not a concern of mine right now, because I too have not been able to sleep very well consistently for the past couple months, because they tell pregnant women that you shouldn't be sleeping on your stomach or your back. But there's like conflicting reports out there. Some say it's totally fine to do, unless like you wake up uncomfortable, like your body will tell you if it's not good for you. But anyway, I've been trying to sleep on my side and it's just not very good. I finally kind of because I've always been a stomach sleeper always. And I kind of just found a new position where it's just kind of like my chest is down, but my stomach, I twist to the side. Yeah. And I've been having crazy night sweats. It wasn't until consistently for weeks. And this week it's been like every other night. So it's promising, but I'm telling you, waking up soaked. Gross, gross, gross.
Ashley, you are crushing it right now. Jared is just living the dream.
Oh, I know. And a couple like months ago at the beginning of it all, it smelled like urine.
Oh, really?
The sweat smelled like urine. I got out of that. Thank goodness. But he like felt so bad because one morning he was like, oh God, did she wet the bed?
She's just, yeah. Yeah. Isn't it wild what the human body does? Like,
so weird. Hormones are bizarre.
Absolutely bizarre. And you're a trooper through it. Well, Ashley, we have a lot to do on this podcast. We're going to break down this week's episode of Bachelor in Paradise. We're also going to bring on Tayshia Adams to help us break down everything going on in Paradise, and also talk about with her about The Bachelorette, about iHeart Media Festival. It's going to be a crazy good podcast. And then we're going to finish this thing with Bachelor Headlines. But before we do, Ashley, you and I have had something going on all year for Bachelor in Paradise. It's been a ton of fun for us. We've been playing the Bachelor in Paradise fantasy pool. And we've done that because we really wanted to engage with all of you listeners a little bit more. Bring in it. We've had a tremendous response for it. And every week we announce a rule that will, be a part of this week. This week's rule is this. Anybody gets 10 more points if a contestant mentions that they can see a future with another contestant. Again, you get 10 more points if a contestant that you've picked in your fantasy pool mentions that they can see a future with another contestant. That's the rule for this week. Best of luck. We're getting closer and closer to the end, so the winner will be announced very soon.
That should be easy for this week, because we're getting serious.
We're getting serious.
Yeah, we're talking engagements. All right, let's take a quick break and then we will get right into the Bachelor in Paradise recap. What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works. And for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we start out this episode, Ashley, with the sneak peek, which is always an engaging piece of an episode. Starts out with a lot of serious conversations. We know relationships are going to start getting serious. We just don't know how serious they're going to become. We also see that Kenny is falling in love with Mari. Damar has come to the island. We know that's going to shake things up. And also, Joe is all about Serena. That's where the sneak peek ends. And Ashley, take it away from part one.
All right, well, the sneak peek ends exactly where we left off last week, which was Joe and Serena telling each other they're falling in love with each other and us having to see Kendall be tortured by just being steps away from this very romantic scene. We see her walk away last week, and that's where we leave off. And, man, so heartbreaking. She ends up soon after going over to Joe and just saying that she needs to talk. And I respect Kendall for being so tough in this moment, but I also just like feel like she may have been too tough, maybe throughout the entire thing, even from the day she got there. Like, maybe the best thing would have just been like, hey, Joe, I'm actually just here to see if we can work out. And if we can't work out, I don't think I can do it. I don't know if I can find love here. Maybe she was hopelessly optimistic. I don't know. I feel so bad because she says in the car as she leaves, because Joe, you know, says, he says flat out that like they're not going to be together. And she says in the car, Joe's my person and stuff like that. And I feel like in those in the moment interviews, we get to see like more, of her being open. And I think with Joe, she just tries to kind of like be a little bit tougher.
You felt like she held back. I mean, Possibly. I felt like that scene was really raw.
But that being said, even though I think she did hold back, I don't think that it would have gone her way, even if she didn't. You know what I mean?
No, it's not. I never watched this ever since the last, like, seeing Joe and Serena and kind of hearing Joe's emotion. I wasn't watching this Kendall Joe scene thinking that anything was going to come from it necessarily. I was mostly wanting like some healing for her or some closure, or like, again, the Band-Aid kind of being ripped off and this to be like kind of something that now she has to process that this is done. And I think we got there. I think it took a long time to get there, but I never felt like, even if she made the full press on Joe, that it was ever going to go any direction other than how it ended.
I completely agree. I completely agree. So like, even if she were more out there about her feelings, which I think it's evident by like the behavior, like the nonverbal behavior, that she just wanted to be there to be with him, but never really fully admitted that. I think it was over. And I guess it's just hard for me. It's really hard for me to watch, one, the heartbreak. Ugh. And like she says with Wells at the bar, she's like, have you ever seen your ex kiss somebody? You know, it's just like such an unnatural environment to be in. And it's like the most heartbreaking thing. And then I just feel like a lot of me was, I don't want to use the word frustrated, but I mean, let's just go with it. That Kendall didn't come out about these feelings in the whole past year that she had the opportunity to do so before Paradise. Yeah. Because they seemed so strong. Yeah. Why wait till he's given this opportunity to like find love again? I mean, he gets the opportunity every day in you know, regular life. But in Paradise, yeah. I just feel like she missed out on a chance to be with him again. Mm.
I'm with you. I wonder what caused it to happen now. I mean, it couldn't have been worse timing, because one, it has to be done on the beach, on camera, in a very real moment. Two, you know, she came in late and Joe was already in a relationship. So that had to be, you know, that was going to get, so like, what caused this to happen now? And maybe it's not a question we'll ever figure out because we really didn't get any answers to it. But it is something to explore. And it was hard to watch, you know, because we, you know, as we've mentioned, she's a tremendous human, and it's hard to see these things happen. But the one question I have for you to kind of move on then is, how do we know anything about Kendall's relationship with Ivan? Because that just kind of got pushed aside. And like, Ivan is upset, kind of confused. Like, we don't get a lot about it, but like, is this a really tough situation for him to sit in?
No.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like he was that attached. And I think it's like super stupid of me to say like, oh, he's only known her for a few days, because we all know how I've acted after only knowing somebody for a few days. But it just seemed like Ivan was more upset as to like where his rose was coming from and not so much Kendall. I'm sure he got vibes throughout their time together that she wasn't completely in it, and mm-hmm. that, you know, her focus was Joe. I'm not concerned about Ivan. Ivan's such a sweet guy. I hope the best for him. I really don't care that things didn't work out for him and Kendall.
Yeah, there's a lot of Ivan that we're going to see at the end of the episode that we'll get to, mm-hmm. too, and a different side of Ivan that we haven't seen yet. Well, all right, so Kendall ended up leaving the beach, and so the relationships that are left here on the beach at this point, just to give a recap, are Mari and Kenny, Abigail and Noah, Serena and Joe, Thomas and Becca, which we haven't seen a lot from, which is super weird to me, and Riley and Marissa. Little John is hosting this week. He announces that two new people are coming to the beach, Damar and Ed. I'm not shocked with Damar. I was like, yeah, Damar makes it. I'm a little shocked that Ed caused mix-up on the beach, some interest. Like, it's just not somebody I thought would come to the beach and shake things up, but him and Natasha actually click. Like, it like is working.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why we think of Ed as like such a character. I kind of think of him like Daniel. What's Daniel's last name?
I know he's from Canada.
You know, yeah. Canadian Speedo Daniel. I don't know why we think of him like in such a silly way, but he just has like that caricature personality. And I agree. Like, I never thought that that would be somebody that Natasha would click with, but it definitely seems like there's something there. I mean, I don't think that this is like going to go very far, but I'm happy that Natasha just has somebody that she wants to make out with.
Yeah. That she's, yeah, you're in paradise. It's nice that you have somebody you're going to kiss. The interesting one, and we still haven't seen it. We have to flash back to last week. I know our listeners are very interested in this scene because we were, and we've heard about it from them. The Marissa kissing somebody scene never shows up this week. And so is that still yet to come? Because we see some issues coming on there. Is it still yet to come?
Well, it wasn't in the preview. And I would think it'd be in the preview, but it happened. We saw it on tape. We must know what's going on. And my best guess is if it does happen, it will be during the rest of the daytime cocktail party.
It would
because it
be
happens
a lot.
During the day, yeah?
It would be a shock. And I know that she had mentioned during this episode and, you know, that there were some issues going on with her and Riley, or she wasn't, like, necessarily knowing where he was at, but that kind of got fixed, it felt like.
Yeah.
She also had, you know, straight up said that she was there for Damar. Like, she went to the beach for Damar. So there's obviously, like, this going in interest. It honestly threw me off because I was really thinking that Riley and Marissa had this, like, really strong, almost impenetrable, like, connection, and then we see it kind of fall apart within a few minutes during this episode.
Just for a few minutes.
But I think she would have said yes to a date. I'm assuming, but I think she would have said yes to a date with Damar if he would have asked.
I'm a little confused how it went. So, yeah, I initially thought she was going to say yes. And then when he didn't ask Marissa, I thought that maybe we didn't see a part where she said, like, I've been really into you. I've been waiting for you to come. However, yeah. I'm too far in with Riley and I'm respecting that relationship. I'm really excited where it's going. And then if we do get the kiss, then I'm going to be like super, super duper confused.
Yeah.
And then Riley was all defensive and he was like, I wouldn't have said anything, but I would have been upset. And I just kind of wish that he would have just said, I would have been upset and I would have wished that you didn't go. And then he kind of breaks his barriers and is like, I'm just so scared to open up and this is why. And, you know,
and I get that. And that was a good scene to have because it did fill some gaps. But am I wrong, Ashley, to be saying that, like, I was thrown off on the Marissa, right? Like, are we leaning too far into this? Because a few weeks ago, we would have said this relationship seems like it's going to last way outside of paradise.
How do you go from saying I'm falling in love with you to within 48 hours kissing somebody else?
I don't know. I really don't know. And that's something to watch. And so note that, everybody, for the upcoming episodes, is like, what is going to go on here? Because it's going to be very shocking. To me, I have a feeling the end of paradise is going to be something that we've never seen before. I might have some inside knowledge on that too.
Oh, is that the Wells tease when he said that there is something that happens that he's never seen before? Or did we already get past that?
Oh, I don't think we've gotten past it yet.
Oh, really? Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, something there's more still more to come. And so as good as this season's been, it's only going to get better. With that tease, let's take a break here, Ashley. When we come back, we're going to talk about the couples at the beach, the new group date that's going on, and everything else in paradise.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Ashley. So back at the beach, we have some cute things going on. We have Joe, who we love. Dr. Joe playing the ukulele makes a little scene. Noah and Abigail have a little date. We haven't seen enough from them this season. It's been a very quiet.
Which can only make me imagine that it's going nowhere.
Really?
You know? Yeah. Because we've seen so little from them, and yet they've been together pretty much the entire time with like maybe one day out of it. It makes me feel like they're not going anywhere.
I would argue differently because of the Kevin and Astrid situation. We saw Kevin and Astrid none during that season.
Kevin and Astrid broke up at the end of the season.
Oh, you're right. I forgot that piece, but now they're having a baby. Wow. Things are wild. Okay. You're not wrong there. Okay, so maybe it isn't going anywhere. Maybe this isn't a relationship we should get attached to. And again, I mentioned that, you know, Beck and Thomas, like we see nothing from them. And so really the couples that like we see the most from are Kenny and Mari, Marissa and Riley, Joe and Serena. Am I wrong in saying those are the relationships that we've really like right now have the most invested into?
For sure. For sure. Should we talk about Kenny and Mari's date?
Yeah, I think that's a best place to leave because really the new group date where, Riley,
nothing happened.
Yeah. Nothing happened. I mean, Riley didn't end up being upset because Chelsea went with DeMar and Natasha went with Ed. As we mentioned, Natasha and Ed kind of have a connection, but Chelsea wasn't into DeMar. It didn't really work out. That was kind of
nothing from them besides the painting. And then we saw Natasha and Ed kiss in a red lipstick kiss. And I was thinking when she was wearing the red lipstick, I was like, is she wearing the red lipstick because she doesn't want to kiss Ed? Because every girl knows that if you don't want to kiss the guy you're going on a date with, you should wear red lipstick.
Yeah.
Because the guys are usually afraid of it. Ed didn't seem to even realize.
I think he was just so happy. I think he was so happy to just be sitting next to Natasha that he was like, I'm into whatever. Like, I don't care what I look. But that's it. Okay. So Kenny and Mari date. I actually, Ashley, will say this. I usually watching things like this usually don't kind of like make me feel any sort of weird way. Awkward conversations make me a little bit like feel a lot more awkward than, you know, these kind of dates. This one, like, really pushed the boundaries, though. Like, this was a wild date for ABC.
For 8 o'clock ABC? Yeah, oh, my like, that gosh. Was a lot. There's been so many. There's been the whipped cream licking off toes, and then there was Tia and, like, the naked volleyball, and then there was this.
I'm talking like, wow, about really eating pushing tacos, the boundaries. Like, I mean, the innuendos and like,
yeah,
it was a lot, you know. And then I don't know how you feel about this, Ashley, but you know, I'm a little more secretive when it comes to stuff, but like even Kenny saying like, what people don't know about Mari is she's like a freak. Like, great. That's awesome. Good for Mari. Like, do you, girl? But like, I don't know if you necessarily want that. Maybe she does. Maybe she doesn't mind, but like, want that being said across the 8 o'clock ABC hour? Maybe that's just something that you should keep between each other. Maybe not. I just feel like the whole date was throwing me off.
Well, you and I are both a little bit more conservative when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, I get
so
it. Yeah.
I think that we're uncomfortable with it, but it all depends on the personality. And I think the two of them are probably actually pretty comfortable with it. So, I mean, not to say that they're not going to be cringing watching it tonight, because their families are probably watching it. Oh my God, that's what I would be thinking about.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy. And then the second half was like, so sweet. And they said that they were falling in love with each other. And it really seemed like Kenny has like never said, I love you before. He said, I don't say that to humans. I say that to dogs.
That's sweet. No, you're right. The second half of the day was so sweet. And you know what? It's been fun to watch their relationship because it is so different than anything that like, maybe, I mean, I'm going to speak for you, like that you and I are comfortable with. It just shows, like, it's always fun on Paradise to see these different couples and kind of how they interact and the thing, you know, when they get to know each other, like the kind of dates they set up for each other, how they speak to each other. Kenny and Mari had a really sweet evening session, and it makes me think that there is something very, very strong here. And I hope
they're talking engagement.
They're talking engagement. They're talking future, and they feel like they like you see some depth in it too. Like they're both pulling, especially with Kenny, you're seeing a depth get pulled out of him that like I think he like originally probably wasn't expecting to like go to. You know, he shows up to the beach naked, kind of having fun. Like I think he thought this would just be a good experience, and now you're seeing him like really open up. And I think that's because of his trust and his relationship with Mari.
He says he's never felt this way before, and I really actually believe it, even though he's 40.
It's a relationship to watch. It's one to root for. Another relationship going on, or a triangle going on, I don't know what you want to call it, is with Tia. And this is a situation that I'm super intrigued by. Because it felt like Tia went on this date with Blake, and we were like, this was so cute. She was talking about how amazing it was.
The vagina dancing, another
that's
PG-13R thing for this time slot.
I want to know whose like idea was to just keep saying that too, and like how they got
over
her to,
and over
over and over, like that, you know, it's dancing, and
like we get it, girls get it,
yeah.
But yeah, it's an accurate description, but like saying it over and over, I'm like, hey, get it, I got it.
So this isn't like a new shocking like revelation that she's like bringing out, like all the girls are watching like, oh yeah, we relate. I thought this was just like some little like fun thing she was saying.
I think they did kind of start that expression on her season.
Oh,
but like I think it's probably just something that like most girls like we get.
Okay, well, good for her then. So it's dancing around, she's feeling it. And then this week, we really don't get any Blake, and we saw them talk about this, that like they haven't spoken since their date, which is just weird to me. I don't know what happened to cause them to kind of separate. But we see her super into James, which is almost the opposite of Blake in a lot of ways. Like, no tattoos, slick back hair. Like,
can we talk about the slick back hair for a second?
It looks good on the beach.
No, everybody's talking about the slick back hair. And like, yes, his brows are overdone too. But then he posted something on Instagram this week. And I really, really urge you guys to go check it out. He goes, "This is the reason that I slick my hair back." And he showed us a picture of his natural hair. It's super, it's swoopy. It's got a beautiful color. And I'm all about it. And I think the guy looks 10 years younger and so much hotter. I think he would have been like a superstar. He would have been such a more of a standout if he just had his hair like this. So I'm sorry, but if James, if you're listening to this, you should definitely start rocking the regular natural hair.
Yeah, he looks good. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. He looks good. He does. He has this swoop, and for whatever reason, like he doesn't like it because he paced that thing down to his head. I can't be comfortable on the beach. Like, at some point, you'd think you'd just wake up and not do his hair.
Yeah.
It's the beach. And I mean, it feels like that's the one time to let it all hang out. Like, just do it, you know, be all natural on the beach. Well, so we do. We see him and Tia connecting. We see this relationship blossoming. But it doesn't really feel like, I mean, from my opinion, there's a lot there. And yet.
But only in emotional way for Tia, she says. Not so much in a physical sense.
So what's going on here, Ashley? Explain to me where we're at with Tia and what you think's going to happen. Because I was really thinking this Blake thing was all, you know, going to really last to the end.
Well, if we keep following the pattern of the past, well, maybe like forever, Seasons of Paradise, there's going to be a rose ceremony. And then the next day after the rose ceremony, Wells is probably going to get everyone together and say, okay, if you're not in a serious enough relationship where you don't see this possibly ending in engagement, you guys should probably leave. Yeah. So I think she's going to end up giving James her rose, because I think that Blake annoyed her well enough for her to like be like, okay, you're going to go against your type right now and you're going to go for like the good guy and not the bad guy. And then I think they're going to like basically split up the next day.
I'm shocked because I really think this was a relationship that I'm just confused by.
But wait, do you think that she was overreacting? No, I don't think she was overreacting, but I want to know from like your point of view, do you think she was overreacting? Because she liked the gesture, the extra time, like the feeling of being courted by James. And then she felt that Blake didn't give her any special time, wasn't making an effort. Do you feel like he wasn't making an effort and that it was warranted for her to get as annoyed as she did with him? And then he kept saying like, I care about you so much. You're all I care about. You're all I care about. And he said it so many times and in a way that he just felt like defensive that I actually stopped believing. I didn't believe him anymore. I really thought like, oh, he just wants to stick around maybe.
Here's what I think. I didn't see enough of their relationship to make any type of judgment. I think it's a two-way street. You know, if the issue is, hey, we haven't talked since our date. Well, why? Like that's both of their issues. That's not just one of their issues. That's both of their issues. If the argument was, hey, I came up to you and you kind of ignored me and I felt uncomfortable around you. Well, that's different, but it's both of their issues there. I do think he was defensive. It just felt like there was like miscommunication. And if you really cared about her that much, something happened to where he didn't like pursue her.
Yeah.
But you know, on the beach and in today's age, like they both pursue each other. And it felt like every scene we saw with her this episode was with James. And so she was obviously pursuing him.
Yeah, but not really pursuing. I think she just liked the fact that he was trying to pursue her. And I think what she's trying to tell Blake is that she wants like an old-fashioned type scenario where the guy is really pursuing her.
That's fair. And maybe they just weren't seeing that. I don't know if I didn't see enough to say, oh, somebody was in the wrong there. It was more confusing to me. Like I said earlier, I just don't understand what happened. Well, speaking of confusing, we did touch on and the next scene in the show was with Marissa and Riley. And it was confusing up to this point because we thought they had something very strong. It felt like it was falling apart. And this is where we see Riley, as we mentioned earlier, open up. And I felt like, as a viewer, their relationship took another step forward. That's why I'm still confused by the sneak peek where we see her kissing somebody else. I don't know where that came from or if it will ever come up. But I do feel like after this scene, I'm thinking they're in a good place again. Like, this is a strong relationship.
1,000%. I only feel good about it.
So, and again, we have to note it that
yeah.
we saw in a sneak peek that she's kissing somebody else. Where does that happen? And how anxious do I need to be waiting for the next week to see when that happens?
I'm telling you, if they don't give us this part, we are robbed.
We're robbed. And
we have to. Then that'll be our first question whenever we do interview Riley or Marissa.
It's a big deal. Okay.
Like, should we talk about the storm and how stupid that storyline was?
It was weird. Yeah, I don't even know if we need to talk about it, right? Like,
so, but I think we have to talk about it because it was so weird. Like, they make a big spectacle of it. Our friends Louis and Peter come in, and it's very exciting when you see the producers on TV. They're showing the whole camera crew and everybody together, and they make it seem like it's so serious. Like, there's an actual hurricane, like a tornado is just going to like show up on the beach. And then they pack up, they get out, and then all of a sudden, the next scene is them walking back in. They didn't say anything about what happened that night. Could we at least just gotten one little interview clip where somebody said, oh, we went to the hotel for the night. The girls and the guys say separated. We had a nice night of like being able to get a normal shower and sleep in air conditioning.
Yeah, it would have been good because it filled the gaps. Yeah, it was a very weird transition. But I don't know if you picked up on this, but we do see with Ivan, he is talking about how something happened over, you know, their overnight. And so it would have been nice to make that more of a storyline, because I felt like I almost forgot that storm even happened during this, like, until you just brought it up. But now I feel like, you know, in the next episode, it is going to play a part in a relationship.
It's the only reason I could think that they kept that in.
Okay.
Is my best guess is that he ends up talking to Chelsea.
Oh, so just need to be there. We at least need to have context that, hey, they left the beach because it's going to be such a storyline that.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. That makes sense. Well,
so I guess the last big thing to talk about is Aaron and Chelsea and Ivan and that whole love triangle that happens during the cocktail party.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Aaron, you know, Aaron has, I don't know Aaron.
Aaron, he's always so angry,
but he's always so mad. He's always so mad, and he's mad at everybody. And it at some point, like, we have to like call it out, right? I mean,
he loves confrontation.
Yeah, it's happened how many times during this season already? Four times,
and his bachelorette season.
So, at some point, we have to say, hey, like, this dude just likes to confront people, and he feels like it's the right thing to do. Well, he does it with Ivan. Ivan doesn't step down from it. Is it weird that Ivan walks over to the couch and starts kissing with Chelsea? Maybe, maybe not, especially if there is some storyline here about their time together during the storm. Then it makes sense on why they, you know, have this connection. And maybe Aaron's just catching up with it. But again, to me, and you've taught me this, Ashley, during the season, it's paradise. This stuff happens. Like, you can't get mad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get hurt. You can be like, it can feel hard and awkward, but you can't get like visibly angry because you're kind of agreeing to it.
Ben, you just put it perfectly. He could be super angry and vent to James, but him being like, yo, you stole my girl, blah, blah, blah. Like, she wasn't your girl yesterday when she went on a date with another guy. Like, come on. I don't know. Aaron just like his attitude and like the bro, blah, blah, everything's like, yo, dude, man. Like, it's just like so old for me. I'm just like, even if it maybe looks like Ivan is maybe looking for a rose, I don't think there's much difference with Aaron. I'm team Ivan in this situation. This is totally quote legal.
Yeah. You
know? This happens all day long.
Well, that's why I'm confused. Like, you know, you get angry. He's angry. He's mad. He's like, he's almost entering into a physical altercation because of this. And what you've told me and what you've taught all of us as we listen and follow from you is like, this stuff just happens in paradise. You have to be some level okay with it. It's the weirdness of it all, especially if the two of you haven't had a conversation that says, hey, this is it. We're not going to date other people. You know, I could see him being like, upset, but they don't, they're not on that level. And so there's nothing to be upset about, but it is how this ends. And then we get the sneak peek for next week or for the rest of the season. And in 2 weeks, we see people get engaged. We see Kaylin and Dean show up. Becca, who we haven't seen a lot from yet on Paradise, is having these internal battles. Riley asked if Marissa wants this thing to continue, which is a storyline, as we've mentioned, we're following. And Kenny is packing his bag. So, Ashley, I ask you, does anybody leave here together? Does anybody get engaged, actually? Or is this thing just, I mean, for the first time, has it ever happened where nobody's gotten engaged in Paradise?
No, that's never happened.
Could we? Could it happen this season?
Did that happen? I think it happened during the Corinne season, you know, the season that everything shut down for a bit. Because Raven and Adam and then Derek got engaged that season and Taylor got engaged that season. But it wasn't until after the fact.
Okay.
But they got like an excuse for that because they weren't there the entire time. There was like an abbreviated season. I think people are going to get engaged. I feel like Joe and Serena are very steady, but I'm still like, even though I've been through the process and like I have Jaden Tanner who, you know, have been married for, it's going to be 6 years in January. It's already 6 years. Yeah, I think it's already 6 years. I still think it's so hard to believe to be like, I'm going to put a ring on the finger now after this, because it's only 3.5 weeks. I mean, during the Bachelor and Bachelorette, I know you have a longer, it's like a longer stretch of time, but you actually have less one-on-one time, but it's still like mind-boggling that these people are saying I'm falling in love with you right now. And then next week they're going to get engaged.
It is wild. It's been crazy to watch. I think Jade and Tanner have been married for 5 years now. 2016.
It was January 2016 that they got married. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, Ashley, when we come back, we're going to have Tayshia Adams on to just kind of talk about everything good in Bachelor Nation. She's in the middle of it all right now. And to also talk about the iHeartFest that she just got back from. Sound like an incredible time. Our team behind the scenes here went as well. This is the first year that Ashley, you and I have missed in what, 4 years, 5 years. And it was weird to not be there, but we've missed it. Can't wait to get back.
Yes, we did. All right. Well, let's get all the dirty deets from her right after this.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you.
Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys.
Tayshia, I want to get this started with one thing and one thing only.
Yeah.
Easton, one of our producers, said, hey, he wasn't exactly with you at the iHeart Festival, but he was out in the pit area. You were there and you came up and said hi to him, which made him look really cool and it made him feel very special. And so it makes us feel very special. Right there he is. Yeah, that's him.
Hi,
beautiful
Easton.
Man he is.
He is. He's gorgeous. Just the cutest. You looked yeah. great at the iHeart Festival. I know I saw you because I hadn't really seen many people. I saw Danielle, but it was different not having you guys all with me this year. So it was fun,
no,
though.
We missed it.
I know.
Tayshia, how was the weekend? How was Vegas? Anything to report besides the Easton run-in?
Yeah, I honestly think that iHeart has the best music festivals. I feel like the performances are always great. The energy is amazing. And, you know what this was? It was the first public appearance Zach and I made together, which is so weird to realize just because of COVID. Like, we hadn't gone anything together. So, like, MTV, he actually had, like, a release thing that weekend, so he wasn't able to go with me. But, like, when I did AMAs, we were still, like, in hiding, and then everything else, we've kind of had like a limited capacity issue because of COVID.
Yeah.
So this is our first time we've like flown somewhere for an event and got to like hang out and enjoy it, which is so bizarre.
Did it feel sparkly?
Yes, it was a lot of fun. We danced the night away, especially on Friday night. And it was so funny. I was like bopping there and I was like, I don't think I've ever had so much fun at a concert before, but I think it's just because we haven't had any musical festivals or like a concert in 2 years.
Yeah, that's interesting because, too, like, that was Jessica and I's first, like, event together.
Really?
And we had a great time. Like, I'll be honest, like, sometimes these things aren't that tight. Like, I don't love them. Like, it feels,
right?
You know, but the iHeart, like, Fest was a blast for us to be at. And one of the cool parts, too, is because, like, when we went, what was that? Geez, 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
Jessica still didn't really, this is her first interview that she's ever done on, like, camera was at that festival and she was so nervous and so confused. And she also didn't understand like my world at all. Like she hadn't watched the season. She wasn't a big fan of the show. She was so oblivious to it all. And we were back in the green room and then you have all those like huge names that go back there and like grab a snack or a drink before they perform or before they present. So I got to ask you, was there anybody this year that you saw that you kind of like got starstruck by? Because it happens to me every time I'm at iHeartFest.
Without a doubt. I mean, honestly, Billie Eilish just like made me kind of like stop in my tracks.
Yeah.
I just think she's so beyond talented. And the fact that she is 19 years old, and you would have never guessed that, is mind blowing to me. And also Khalid. So I presented to Khalid. He is someone that I have kind of followed since the very beginning. I remember when his first single came out. I don't even know how I found him, but I have kind of just followed his success. And that was like really surreal to be presenting to him. But who else kind of just like shocked me? I'm trying to think.
Who'd you present with?
I presented with Big Boi.
Yeah.
And Youngblood. And Big Boi is a crazy person to have by my side, because growing up, like, my dad listened to Big Boi on the radio every single morning taking me to school. Mm-hmm. So I've grown up with his voice, like, you know, in the car, and like my dad talking about him. So the fact that he was right there next to me was really cool. But Youngblood is actually a person that I just kind of discovered. I had no idea who he was, but the impact that he's made on his community has been incredible. So he's definitely someone I kind of want to start following a little bit more.
I'm super intrigued by Youngblood. I've known of Youngblood, followed Youngblood's story for a while.
Yeah.
And like, he's one of those people that like just captivates me. Like, I could go on and read more and more stories about him, just because like, he's so different than me.
So different.
So explain, like, if you can help me out, like, what was your interaction with Youngblood like?
Truthfully, it was pretty minimal. Again, there's still a lot of COVID stuff, but he just walked up to me and was like, "Hello, love." I'm just like, "Hi." And so he's like, "You look dashing today. How are you doing?" I was just like, "Oh my God, I don't know what you're saying really, but I just..." You know, anybody with an accent, they just like are 10 times more intriguing. You know what I mean? But he had just come off set. I guess he like had a concert maybe like 3 hours prior in Atlanta. And it was just, I don't know. He's just very busy. But he just seemed very sweet, very kind. But it was more so the people that were surrounding him that kind of had told me a little bit more about him. And I'm just fascinated by him. So,
yeah.
And Big Boi also talked so highly of him. And he's just like, "It's so great, the work that you're doing." And it's just, I don't know. He kind of swept me off my feet. I need to submerge myself. But you also have to realize, like, I've also been kind of in this weird bubble for like the last year, truthfully, like where you go away for a couple months at a time where you don't really listen to music. So I haven't really been introduced to a lot of like the mainstream.
Let's talk about that. I know we want to chat about this bubble.
That bubble.
I have to just like cut to the chase.
Yeah.
Because we know the rumors that Clayton Eckerd is going to be the next Bachelor. You know, there are pictures of him filming in his hometown. Mm-hmm. And we know that he's part of this Michelle's cast. Gotta know if he stood out to you immediately the way that he supposedly stood out to the producers.
I do remember Clayton's entrance, and I do remember like there was something about him. He had a great presence. And so, I mean, because Caitlin and I, we kind of hide in the bushes. We obviously don't go very far away from our bachelorette. So we watch everybody, and we obviously try to make those like first impression, like, reactions, and try to like figure out who is like on our top five and whatnot. But he was definitely someone that I do remember from night one. And then as the season kind of gone on, he's really cool. I don't hang out too much with the guys. It's kind of like me and Michelle and Caitlin. Yeah. So
let's talk about Michelle for a second. Also, I want to hear from you. Like, this is your second time hosting a season. Mm-hmm. Did it feel different? Did night one feel different to you than it did with Katie? Like, were you more nervous, less nervous? Was it as exciting? Like, walk us through what you were feeling. I'm super intrigued as the host for the second go around.
Well, this season was a little different because now I kind of do have that title as host. Before, we were kind of mentors. And so I don't really think any of us knew what that really meant. And so I remember Caitlin and I were standing on that platform on Katie's season being like, "So like, what do we do?" Like, we have no idea what was going on, and the producers had no idea either. And so we kind of just made it our own. This year it was kind of more of like, well, we're back at it. Let's introduce the guys. Let's introduce our girl. And we kind of had a little bit more rhythm, if you will. But also we kind of just let Michelle just do her thing. She kind of came to us when she wanted to, as opposed to like us checking in every like, you know, 15 minutes. But I have to say, she is such an amazing, like, level-headed, well-rounded individual that she didn't need too much help.
I wonder why that is. Like, I mean, and then Ashley, I'll stop talking because I know you have a lot of questions too, but like, why, like, what do you think that is? And are you starting to see now two seasons in, like, the difference in leads and the difference in kind of the vibe of the show based on the lead, where like Katie, it felt like you guys were around a lot.
Yeah.
There was like, I don't want to say any closer or less close. We haven't seen Michelle's season with you, but like you're around a lot. So what do you think it was that made you this season kind of say, hey, she doesn't need us as much?
You know, I think that, well, there's a couple of factors. Number one, COVID. So that was kind of different that we were like in just a bubble. We couldn't really have any like outside talent come in. This year we might have a little, or this season we might have a little bit more of that, which kind of like, you know, made us kind of take a backseat and let us, let her have fun on her dates. But truthfully, I also think it's just like how comfortable the lead is and how much help that they want, or if they are struggling, if there's drama with the guys, that also plays a huge part. And sometimes people just want to talk things through. I mean, I know for me, when I was Bachelorette, I really valued that girl time when I did get it. And I think Katie did too. But I think with Michelle, she was just, she kind of just knew what she wanted. Like she, she's also a teacher, you know what I mean? So she's pretty, again, level-headed. And she is pretty realistic. She doesn't really kind of like, she takes you for face value. She doesn't really read too into it. She also kind of weeds out who's kind of a drama starter and not, because she's good at doing that. I don't know. She's kind of just really independent.
We saw Katie just eliminate guys the second that they seemed like drama starters. Does that happen again this season, or do we get more like the guys that like kind of like last week after week and we're not sure why?
I think that this group of guys are a little bit more, they're a little bit older, but also at the same time, there's drama starting day one, but Michelle does not play. Like, they'll see the door pretty quickly. So, and I just think that the guys really respected her too. And so like when she did kind of confront the first situation or two, like they kind of knew like, oh shoot, she means business and she's not playing around. So, it's, let's just say night one, it's going to get very interesting. The guys think that they have a little wiggle room and they don't.
I love it. I can't wait to see like a teacher as a lead. I'm sure there's been a teacher as a lead before. I can't remember, but like,
has there?
I don't think so. But I just feel like a teacher, like they're patient. They read through the BS. Well, they don't like, chaos doesn't really bother them. Like, it doesn't, like, fluster them. And then, like, especially as the lead and knowing your role, I just have this feeling that Michelle will put, like, these dudes in their place. And, like, I think it's awesome. I think it's going to be hilarious. Now, Tayshia, this Michelle season has a 200th episode of The Bachelorette.
Yeah. Okay?
So it's huge. And, you know, your Bachelor franchise story is a little different than some. You were on a season, you know, Paradise took some time off, came back as a Bachelorette. Now you've been now you're the host. You were a mentor, which I don't even know what the difference is. I don't know if anybody does. But I mean, what has this meant to you? Like over the last, I don't know how many years of your life now, 4 years of your life or 3 years of your life. Like what has this franchise meant to you? What has The Bachelorette meant to you?
Truthfully, I feel like, the franchise as a whole has really made me grow up and really become the woman that I am today. I feel like I found a lot of my confidence. I feel like I have found a sense of what I find like, is important in my life and like how I want to impact the world. I always knew that I wanted to, but I feel like it's my life before The Bachelor. Like I was kind of like floating around and I didn't really, I was like, I had to go back to school to be a PA because I had just gotten out of a serious relationship. So it was kind of like, I didn't really know what to call my own. I didn't really have anything that was me. And now I think this really pushes you to be you and authentically you. And if you're somebody else, you can see it, well, either on the screen or people are going to tell you you're being fake. You know what I mean? So it's really just made me kind of grow into the woman that I am. And but also being a host now, I hope to have an impact on the diversity of the cast, but also the longevity of these relationships. If I can, you know, kind of breathe in some advice to any of these newer couples or any of the guys looking for love and the girls looking for love, I feel like it's just, there's a lot of advice that can be given, especially after you leave.
Okay. So, perfect transition into the advice that you would give your old friend Brendan for what he went through with Paradise. And if you were shocked by this behavior, because it just seemed like such a 180 from the Brendan that we saw on your season.
Oh, God, we're going to get into this. Okay, so was I shocked? I mean, I think everyone was shocked. I don't think anybody could have ever predicted that somebody was going to act that way in Paradise. I'm not going to really even give any more adjectives to that. But I did have a kind of like a gut feeling in the middle of my season. I've never really kind of like said this, but there is something that was a little off, and there was something that I kind of felt like he was kind of pulling away once he got kind of serious. There were some dates where he was just like, I would say like, are you excited to like meet my family? And there was a lie detector date where it said like, are you excited to introduce Tayshia to your family? He said something and the lie detector said that was actually false. And so it's like, there was like little red flags that I started to see, and it just, something felt off. And I will say that I felt like I was being told one thing and then the feelings were different. So that's my experience with him. Was I shocked to see his actions? Absolutely, 100%. I would have never thought that that would have happened or he would have been that person. But I have to say, I feel like I'm glad everything worked out the way that it did for myself. And I wasn't on, you know, the receiving end of anything like that. But I don't know. It's messy out there in Paradise, you know?
It is. And maybe every season they need to have a lie detector day. I forgot about that. That was a good point, because it really brought up some like stuff that now we're seeing to be true. Like then you watch, you're like, ah, whatever. Like we don't really know what this stuff means. Now you're seeing the behavior of some of those people and you're like, oh, yeah, no, like that was spot on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It worked.
You like think that they're like these silly dates and whatnot. But I remember like that night, I felt like something was just a little off. And I don't know if it aired in my interview at that time, but like, I definitely said it. I said there was something kind of off today. I feel like we've hit a kind of a climax and it's, there's something preventing us from moving forward. And I don't know exactly what that was.
It must have hurt you because you're tight with Natasha, who's your co-host there. And I mean, she has just risen above all the grossness, which we love for her. But absolutely. I also want to talk about your other co-host on your podcast, which is Joe, and what he's gone through now with Kendall, and how you feel about like that kind of love triangle ish. Like, do you think Kendall should have showed up? Do you feel like Serena's a better fit for him?
You know, I have to say this. If I were Kendall, I would have always regretted not trying, you know, at the end of the day. But I also think that Joe navigated it very well. I think that he was very kind and very sweet. Even when Kendall would break down to him, he was very comforting to her, but he was also very honest. And I think that Joe gave himself a chance. I think that Joe even said, like, if Kendall would have approached him, like, before Paradise.
That's what I was saying earlier in the podcast, was, like, the fatal, like,
I know.
Just, like,
I know.
I just watch in frustration knowing it could have been different for her.
But see, that's the thing, though. That's why you have to be honest with yourself and, like, not play games with things. If you want to be with someone, go freaking tell them. I don't understand why people wait.
You gotta tell them.
Work it out. Like, and she, it was so sad. She said it in the car, like, Joe's my person.
I know.
But Joe was also really happy with Serena. So, like, I can't fault him for following his heart.
What's meant to be will be in this situation, I feel like, you know, like if he and Serena are meant to, you know, live the rest of their lives together, this was meant to be.
Exactly.
And if
And if they don't, then maybe Joe will think about Kendall down the road.
Oh boy, I have no idea, but
can we watch it? Will it be on TV? I want to watch it. Hey, Tayshia, we know you're busy. We appreciate you. We're going to let you go here. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking everything. Paradise, the upcoming season, your life at iHeartFest.
Yeah.
Wish you the best. Keep shining bright. You. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you later.
Bye.
Of
course. Thank you.
It's time for Bachelor Headlines. It's a big deal for us. Ashley, I want to start this out by asking you a question that I don't know, that I texted you last night about. You didn't answer me, so I'm going to ask you on the podcast straight up.
I did answer you.
Oh, you did answer me. That's right. Yeah, I forgot. Okay, well, anyways, I'm still going to ask you because I want to talk it through with you. We have no clue who the next host of The Bachelor is, right? Is Tayshia and Caitlin the host of this upcoming Bachelor season?
No.
Is Jesse Palmer, like we just recently had? Like, I've heard that rumor.
There's some rumors there about the Jesse Palmer, and actually, I'd be pretty down with that choice, so we'll see.
They've used him for a few shows now at this point, though. Like, they love Jesse Palmer.
ABC, and
like,
you mean?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Think about it. Didn't, like, this NZK used him for that one weird dating show that came out a few years ago?
Oh, that's right. And now he has the Ultimate Surfer. I just feel like it's kind of a build-up.
Yeah, it would. I mean, it feels like a build-up. I wouldn't be shocked. Obviously, he was an incredible guest a few weeks ago to us. Super nice guy. Not going to be shocked. Just a little surprised. Like he wasn't even in my top five people that I thought would get the gig.
I've been thinking about him.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
I've been thinking about him, but I definitely thought they were going to go with more of a splashy celebrity and less of a Bachelor alum slash host like a traditional host.
So we don't know yet. Nothing confirmed. Just the rumors, something to look into. I'm just surprised because they've obviously kind of started filming this upcoming season. And you would think the host would have been leaked or announced at this point. I don't know why it wouldn't. It's just super weird that it's not. Well, anyways, okay, let's dive into it. The Bachelor producers chose Clayton, if you haven't heard this, Etchard as the 26th lead. He stood out right off the bat. This is according to Us Weekly. So he's the next Bachelor. He's on Michelle's season. Ashley, what made him stand out? Like, it feels like a very quick choice. And obviously, I'm looking at a picture of him with his shirt off right now. I think some things stand out from that picture.
You mean his muscles?
His muscles are massive. But, like, everybody on this show's muscles are massive. So, what do they say stood out?
Okay, so he's 28. He's from Missouri. Producers say that he was the best fit for the role. They wanted to switch things up and go with someone new and someone who hasn't been in the spotlight yet. Okay, that's kind of interesting. But we still don't really have a lot of information as to why him. Why not somebody else from that season? Why not from... So we'll see. I wish I could tell you more. I really do. We know that he played Division I football and that he played tight end. He attended Mizzou, and he was signed to the Seattle Seahawks as a free agent for a little while. He's a big family guy. He's a big fan of the outdoors and obviously exercising.
Obviously exercising. Well, he is the next Bachelor as soon, you know, as far as we know. That hasn't been officially announced, but you know, it's pretty highly like speculated considering that he's been seen filming. The show themselves haven't came out and said anything against it. But here's an interesting headline. I've been able to build a friendship with Michael A. Great guy. Since his time on the show, he's been great to me. Just gotten to talk a lot about just life and not a lot about the show. But this headline reads this, and I kind of knew this about it. Bachelor alum Michael A. says he doesn't know why he wasn't picked to be the 26th Bachelor. It's according to Us Weekly. This is a shocking headline to me, Ashley, because I felt like he was a very clear choice.
Wait, I'm very much confused now. Maybe I haven't read or listened to enough of his interviews to fully comprehend. However, I thought that it was offered to him and that he declined. Am I completely wrong?
As far as I understand, that's not the full way it went. It was offered. It was talked about. He had a lot of things with his son that he wanted to work through. And then... Mm-hmm. Then he kind of, I think, was like, hey, let's talk through this. And then it was too late. Like, that's how I understand.
They left him hanging.
Kind of okay. Like, well, now I don't know that to be like, I'm not quoting him. This isn't coming from Michael. I don't know the story now. But I mean, if he's saying publicly that he's surprised, I know enough about this whole thing behind the scenes to go, yeah, something happened where like he's shocked because it was never like it never felt like it was going to work out or something. I don't know. It's weird though that they wouldn't go head like bend over backwards to make him the bachelor if he was wanting it.
I know.
Feels like okay. A very
obvious
choice.
Well, these are the quotes we have from him. He was asked this week why he isn't the bachelor, and he just said, I don't know. He said, I'm sure the next one is going to be a really good one. And then he's also said there have been, this is a couple weeks ago, he said there have been discussions, no decision has been made. Apparently now the decision has been made. He says he had reservations being a contestant. Those reservations are heightened even more when you're the lead. Obviously, there's like a lot of shiny things that come with being the lead, but sometimes not everything that shimmers is gold. My son, my lifestyle, what do I want after this? Maybe am I ready to introduce my son to random people that he doesn't know? Maybe, I don't know. He did say that if he was the bachelor, 100% his son James would be there. They've made accommodations for people in the past. He's referring to Jason Mesnick and Emily Maynard. He said, I'm 37. I'm not looking to date around and do all that. Casting is totally different. Location is different. That is when they accommodate the child usually. So, I mean, that's, in my personal opinion, it sucks. I wanted to see Michael A. as the bachelor. I wanted to see them accommodate the son and have a single dad. There's never been a widow before, a widower before. And I thought that he kind of had all the makings of a good bachelor. And whatever, maybe we will all fall in love with this guy, Clayton. I'm sure we will.
He has big shoes to fill. If you're replacing Michael A., I was a big Michael A. fan. Well, hey, former bachelor Juan Pablo reunites with ex Nikki Farrell after 7 years. Wild, wild, wild. Ashley, why they reunite? What's going on?
We don't really know why they reunited, but they reunited at the Plaza in Kansas City, where Nikki is a pediatric nurse. And they were all smiley, and Juan Pablo captioned the picture, great 7 years of catching up with Nikki Farrell. So they got ice cream, and they just seemed like very, I mean, how bizarre. But I guess maybe they never left off on as bad of terms as we would have thought. We never really did see like how their relationship ended. We just saw how he was on The Bachelor, and I guess we would have assumed that he broke up with her, or they broke up and it was dirty, because like all of his breakups on the show seemed kind of dirty.
Yeah. Well, next headline, Bachelorette's Bennett Jordan. We're getting answers to why he wasn't in Paradise, because he introduces girlfriend Emily Chin after skipping Bachelor in Paradise, is according to Us Weekly.
Yeah, he posted on Instagram. He said, meet Emily. I'm pretty sure she's a real life angel. Said, aside from being the most graceful yogi I've ever seen in my 15 years of practice, she has the best heart and spirit of anyone I've met. You're going to see a lot more of us, but if you want to feel more inspired, more enlightened, grow stronger, live a little lighter, and feel more connected and grounded in your life, I encourage you to follow her. I'm pretty much the luckiest guy in the world. I don't know if they were together while Paradise was filming. I guess like part of you kind of like assumes that they would be, because he wasn't part of the Paradise cast, and I would have assumed that he was a shoo-in for it. So I'm going to go ahead and assume there was some sort of talking to for a while. What do you think?
I wouldn't be shocked, and good for him, right? I mean, good for him that he found somebody that he said, hey, I'm not going to go on a show. I don't need followers. I need a girlfriend. Yeah. I need a partner. Yeah. I'm happy for him. Well, so we're celebrating that. And final headline comes from somebody we just had on the podcast today. The headline reads this: Tayshia Adams admits to tough times with fiance Zach Clark. We want to make it work.
So basically she says, whenever we're asked about the wedding, we are no closer to getting a wedding planned than we were a year ago.
we just can't wait to actually just be together and continue to grow our relationship. Wedding plans someday on the horizon, but right now we're enjoying New York, and we have the marathon to look forward to. We have a lot on our plate right now. She said that there's a true special connection there that they knew that they had instantly. And she says that's what's really helped them carry the relationship through tough circumstances, like her being gone for months at a time to film and them living on different coasts at certain times. She said, truthfully, if we didn't have that, I don't know that we would have been able to last. But she also says it's been pretty tough, the distance, but also at the same time, they love each other so much and they want to make it work. And that's really all you need at the end of the day.
We hope to make it work. Cheering for those two. Well, hey, that's what we got for the Almost Famous podcast today. Great episode. Again, we had Tayshia Adams on. We broke down this week's episode of Bachelor in Paradise. Broke down some headlines. It's been awesome. It's been great spending time with you, Ashley. But hey, I've been Ben.
And I've been Ashley.
Later, y'all.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Child-proofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.